You're listening
to the When Life Hands You Lemons podcast.
But in an entry-level film production, it's one strike and you're out. You're fired. I'm not calling you back.
If your goal today is to make a basket, we're going to make that basket.
The minute you create something, as soon as it's made tangible, you have a copyright in it.
How do I get our guys to sound that big, you know, that full when they do the harmonies?
And I'm your host, Lennon Seahawk. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of When Life Hands You Lemons. I'm very honored and excited to share this week's episode with you with my guest, Julian Jordan. Now, he is a superstar Dutch DJ and producer. He is currently signed to Martin Garrix's Stamped Records, and he has collaborated with artists like Martin Garrix, Titus Brooks, who was on the show last July of 2019. He has also collaborated with Seth Hills, who was a guest on the show about 10 episodes or so ago. And we dig into a whole bunch of stuff. We talk about how he got into music. We talk about what instruments he plays. He walks us through his creation process, how he gets his ideas out. Does he start crafting with a drum loop? Does he start with the chords, a melody? What does he do first? We talk about his approach with sound design, if he has any go-to synths and samples he may use. We talk about his creation process during the pandemic that we've got going on. He mentions that he's incredibly passionate about touring and meeting his fans. So this has been a little bit of a difficult time for him, but he's remaining positive and hopeful and creative during this process. We talk about his mixing and mastering and how he gets a quality mix and master after listening to his track over and over and over again. And we dig into his YouTube series as well. And we kind of talk about how he was on a children's show and a whole bunch of other things as well. So I will let Julian Jordan talk much more in depth about all of these topics. But before we dig into the conversation, I want to please remind you to sign up to my email list, which helps me notify you when new episodes like this are live. I would also appreciate if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and give me a 5-star rating and review, because it greatly helps the show get discovered by new listeners. I would also appreciate if you would check out my website, lennonseahawk.com, which will be in the show notes below. You can sign up to the email list there as well and follow me on Instagram. It's just at lennonseahawk. LennonCihak. I post some daily ramblings there and also keep up with my daily life as well. If you or somebody you know would be a good guest for the show, there's also a link in the show notes below for the guest request form. So fill that out and I'll reach out. I just want to brief you as well that, like most of our work and professional and daily lives revolve around, this conversation was recorded over Zoom. So please excuse the slightly below average audio quality and video quality. So without further ado, again, it's my humble honor and true pleasure to introduce this week's guest, Julian Jordan.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on the show and taking the time to chat with me. I'm excited to chat and learn and see just catch up.
Cool.
Let's just start kind of from the beginning and tell us a little bit about who you are. Give us a brief overview of who Julian Jordan is, and then we can kind of spiderweb from there.
My name is Julian Jordan. I'm a DJ producer. I'm known for my own productions. I really stand for a certain kind of sound. I call it the Julian Jordan sound. Pretty easy. So I did a lot of great productions last year, a lot of crazy bookings. I tour around the world doing that, and I built a crazy fan base by doing that as well that I'm really happy for. And I'm just having fun doing that and having fun making my own music and reaching as much as people possible with that. So that's basically what I'm doing.
Yeah. So you've built that fan base by touring and obviously releasing quality music. Now with the pandemic going on, how have you kind of shifted your ways to reach those new audiences and really connect with those people?
I think one of the strong, one of the main things that I always focused on was social media and the way to use it for, to explode my music, to show it to the people. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always one of my strongest points, one of the most strongest things I could do. So I already built a fan base with social media. And that's one of the most important things right now, to have a good social media to maintain and show your fans that you're still working. And because you can't tour, you can't be in clubs, you can't be in festivals, it's hard to show people that you're still out there. So what are you going to do? I'm not the type that sits still and is going to wait till this is over. I just want to keep working and keep doing the same thing. So I haven't really shifted. My sound, or I'm not like producing more commercial. I'm just staying in my lane, and I'm just making as much as music as possible. I try to use this period as the perfect time to be as much in the studio as possible, actually. So there's coming out a lot of music.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the general consensus of a lot of the musicians that I've spoken to, is they're using this time to be very productive. And I think for a lot of people too, so they're setting this up as kind of a to-do list. I want to get this done. He's setting up 2021 and 2022. So when touring comes back, you can focus on that aspect of the business versus, you know, having to be in the studio collabing and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So have you always been a musician? How did you kind of get into music, and how did you transition into electronic music?
So I always been into music. I started drumming when I was 5 years old. I played drums. I still do sometimes. So that's a good thing that I use in my production as well. It's so I was always a fan of music, and a big genre of music. You know, I'm not into only house music, but I'm into everything as long as it has emotion in it. And yeah, I like certain types of music. So I started doing that when I was five. And my older brother was a big inspiration for me. It still is a big inspiration, because he started listening to like the early house music. And he showed me the first CDs with house music on it, with electronic music. So thanks to him, I got into electronic music at such a young age. And I remember stealing his CDs from his room and playing them in my own CD player. And yeah, I was so inspired by that I had to save money for a DJ set. And that's how it all started.
Do you still drum on your actual tracks? Like, do you try to incorporate that? Or is it all MIDI or sequencing? Like, how do you incorporate what you've learned as a drummer into your productions?
Well, I didn't do that for a long time, but recently I felt like it would give a cool element to my new production. So my recent productions do have me in there drumming. It's not like acoustic drums. It's still with electric drums. But it really, like, the drumming really helped me thinking in other rhythms that other producers maybe not think about. So that's one of the strongest points. If you look at my productions, that there's always a certain rhythm in there that no one would really think of. I think that's one of the most important things in my productions.
I think the rhythm part is one of the most important part, especially in dance music, because it really drives the entire track. So go into some of those techniques that you're using with the rhythm in some of your productions to make them kind of stand out, give them that Julian Jordan sound. Are you switching like time signatures? Are you, what types of things are you doing?
I always try to challenge myself a little bit. I want to think outside of the box. I know you can't really invent the wheel again, so you have to let go of the idea that you have to invent something completely new. I don't think that's really something you should live by, because you're going to be too hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. So what I always try to do in every production is to challenge myself a little bit, not too much, but grab the main elements of what my music makes my music. So the main elements of that, so what describes the Julian Jordan sound, and then play around with that, play around with different genres. And how I get inspired is by just listening to a lot of music, and I can listen to every genre of music and still get inspired for my own productions. So for instance, my last track, Bad Boy, it has a rap part in the middle of the break. And it's just a big switch in the whole production. I really like to do that in all my forthcoming releases. Mm.
So going back just a little bit, when did you realize that you were able to, when was kind of the tipping point from doing music kind of as a hobby to doing it full time? I know that's kind of a dream for a lot of musicians, and that's making a living as a musician is not an easy feat. It takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. So walk us through that process and when it was kind of like, I can stop doing full time, I can quit my day job, and I can go on to music as full time.
For me, it was never the intention to be an artist. Mm-hmm. I never had the intention to become famous or to play my music in front of a crowd. So it was always a hobby for me, and it was always about having fun. And I was so young, like I was 15 when I started doing my first shows. So I didn't have a day job back then. So it was like I came out of school and I was actually working already directly. So for me, there wasn't a... how do you say it? I didn't have any other job to think back to, like, okay, this is how a job's supposed to be, and I'm doing this right now. I was already used to doing shows then. So it's funny how that went. It was never my intention to become famous, but in any, like, there was just this moment that I was like having fun putting my music out online, and then I saw all these big DJs on TV, everywhere with press picks. So I was like, okay, I need a press pick. But I also need an artist name for myself that I would have to give, like I have to bring my music out there with an artist name. So I thought about an artist name. I thought about a way to promote my music. And then I was just a DJ producer, like, boom, it was there. And Julian Jordan was born. And I put out my music on SoundCloud. And yeah, that's how it just started.
I was watching your It's Julian Jordan on YouTube, that series, and you were on a show with Nicky Romero, and you explained how you came up with a name. Julian is your first name, yeah. And then you love Jordan shoes, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And then you just put two and two together, and you've got a DJ name.
Yeah, it was actually very pretty silly, because it was like, I think, just a minute of thinking. I was like in my bathroom back then thinking about, okay, I need a good name, a really good catchy name. And I felt like, okay, Julian, I need something with a J as well, because it's like catchy. And then I came up with Julian Jordan, and I didn't even think about it that much. And I was just putting it out there on SoundCloud. And I was called Julian Jordan, boom.
That's so cool. That's just like you said, a minute of thinking. Sometimes people put in like weeks of time trying to come up with a name, and it's like, for you, it's just got to be natural. It's just got to be something organic. And I think those are the ones that stick the best, is when it just comes naturally like that. Exactly. So going back into your creation process a little bit, how do you start a song? Do you start with the drum loops? Because I know you're a drummer. Do you start with the chords, melodies? Walk us through starting to finishing.
So to be honest, there's like not a secret like way to create a track. So sure. There's not a secret formula I use to make my own tracks. It's funny, because I had a conversation with a friend about this. Like, I can make a track in like 30 minutes. Or it could take me weeks, it could take me months. It's like there's not a secret way to do it. And sometimes I start with the drums, sometimes I start with like a percussion part that has a certain rhythm, and then I feel like, okay, maybe this rhythm is cool when I put a synth instead of percussion. So it's always a different vibe. Maybe sometimes I start making like my last track, actually, Bad Boy, started out as it started as a techno project. Like I was like, I'm gonna make a techno track. And it was like completely changed from the first project file to the last part of it. So it's funny how it starts, and I can't really tell that, because I'm in like a different world when I'm producing. I'm just getting lost in the project, and then all of a sudden there's something. And I sometimes take my friends with me in the studio, and I'm like lost in my screen, and then I hear them laughing behind me saying like, He's like so like crazy. He's like lost in the screen, and then all of a sudden there's like a complete production out there, and they don't really understand how I did it. But yeah, that's how. Yeah, I don't really know how I do it as well. It's just it gets born into like into just being creative and just playing around with sounds and stuff like that.
And do you ever have times where you're just sitting there, you're trying to come up with an idea, and it just like nothing's coming out? And then you have times where you can just like, you've either got an idea or you start playing with a drum loop and just things just start coming naturally and just flowing. Can you explain, like, how do you get through those times when you just can't get anything going? Do you walk away? Do you work on another project? What's your like inspiration to keep going?
It's very important to not force yourself, you know, because when it's loved by creative people that when you force them into doing something, nothing comes out, because it has to. It, for me, it's all about having fun, and the fun in music is that it's just freedom, you know, creative freedom. And for me, it really works the best when I feel inspired. I'm full of energy, and I'm rested, and I feel like, okay, I'm ready. I don't have to have the feeling like, okay, today I'm going to make a hit song. I just want to be in my comfort zone and make music. That's works the best for me. And if I have like a writer's block, or I feel like nothing is coming out, I just walk away from my computer or laptop, and I just go take a walk, or hang out with friends, hang out with family, or watch festival after movies, and do something completely different, go sporting, I don't know. And then all of a sudden these ideas come pop up in my head. Maybe when I'm sleeping, sometimes I dream about a melody that I have to wake up in the middle of the night and walk to my PC to write it down. So yeah, there's not a way to do it. But I would say if you have a writer's block, just do something completely different and give yourself some rest, and then it will all work out.
Mm. Which program are you producing in? Are you in Ableton or Logic?
FL Studio.
Oh, wow. Okay. FL Studio. Interesting. So when you have those ideas in the middle of the night, you said you get up and you go to your PC, and do you ever hum them like in a voice memo? Or I know that's what a lot of
same. I do that actually a lot. I hum them in my voice memo, or I take a video. So that's like the main thing. Whenever I'm so scared that I lose the idea, so I already put them in my phone, and that's the main thing I do.
Yeah, that's such a cool way that we have that ability to do that now. Whereas if you're not in a convenient location, you can run to the restroom, or you can run somewhere quiet if you're in a shopping mall or something, and you can just hum this melody because it's you've got it bouncing around in your head. So how did your creation process kind of change after the pandemic hit? Like, what types of things did you have to shift in order to kind of accommodate?
I didn't really have to shift anything. I feel like staying true to my fans is really important. I'm not going to switch my sound to more commercial, because people are not going out that much, so they don't really need club music. They need like commercial music, because they can't go to clubs, so why would they need club music? But I think for me it's really important to stay producing that club music as well, and to stay producing my own sound, and to show the fans that it's all about the love for music, you know. Because when I started making club music, I was 14 years old, so for me I couldn't go to a club when I was 14. I couldn't go out. So it was just pure love for that type of music. So I never did it with the intention of playing it out live. So for me, it really feels like I'm going back a little bit to my first years of producing, and I have that total freedom again, instead of having to think about the crowd that I have to play for. Because it's always, when I'm on tour, I always think about, okay, what element should work live? What element would work really good in front of a crowd? And right now, I just have to think like, okay, what element do I like? What element would I like to put there? And yeah, it works like, it gives me a lot of freedom actually.
I love that. I love that you're able to stay true to yourself, and that you have that kind of ingrained in your brand as Julian Jordan, to maintain that sound and staying true to yourself and who you are, and always keeping that club and not transitioning to like commercial music, like you said, to kind of conform to the societal norms of what a lot of other producers are doing. So you have such a distinct sound to you. And I was listening to your most recent track a couple of days ago, and it's so heavy with sound design. So how do you approach sound design? Are there any like go-to synths that you use? Are there any go-to samples that you use?
So I have a few tips for that, actually. I use Serum. I like Serum a lot for bass lines. But I'm a very diverse producer. I used to produce a lot of hip-hop for rappers back when I was younger. And it's funny because I really work sample based, and when I discovered Splice, it was really like a big thing for me, because I had like the ability to discover so many sounds in a big like cloud online. So I had that app like Splice on my laptop, and I was just using hours and hours of sounds. I was just listening to them, and I found a way to find the greatest samples, and that's just to type in random words or stuff like a flute, whatever, put that in Splice, and it comes up with the most popular sounds first, but edit that to random, so it comes up with random sounds, and that's when the best sounds start coming up, just sounds no one uses, and put them in your project and make them your own. You know, I edit my samples so much. I try to edit them that they're not recognizable anymore. I try to edit them in pitch, EQing, distortion, everything. I try to make it my own and to really make a sound that I feel like, okay, this is something unique. And that's what I do with every track. And Bad Boy is one of those tracks that's full of those samples, also presets that are totally tuned in my own way, that I feel like, okay, this is something dope and this is something unique that I haven't heard before.
So are you bringing the samples into Serum? How are you editing the samples?
So that's where FL Studio is pretty very good for, is that you could just put them in the project and put them on a channel and just edit in a channel on your mixer. So that's how I edit those samples. And you can just edit the sample itself with the pitch, with the stretch, everything with FL Studio pretty easily. So for that, I love using FL Studio.
So when you're, I want to get into the bass lines, for example, like just using some like Serum. How sound design is incredibly complex, and it's obviously not cut and dry. Like this is the way to do it, because it's literally infinite possibilities of tweaking and everything. Yeah. So how do you get a sound out of your head into Serum or Massive or whatever plugins that people want to use to really conform and make sure that they're getting the sound that they want?
Always, what I always do is I try to surprise myself a little bit. So I don't really think about something I want to have. I think about maybe there's coming out a sick sound that I haven't heard before. So it's not that I have a sound in my head. I'm just like twisting buttons until something dope comes out where I get inspiration from. So a sample or a preset can also give me a lot of inspiration. When I hear like a sick sample or a sick preset, I feel like, okay, this is something cool I just created. I'm gonna make this or this melody with it. So it's not that I have like in mind what I want to create. It's just like it comes along the way of the process.
The element of surprise. That's definitely a good way to work. So do you, and when you're finished producing a track, do you typically mix and master your own music, or are you sending that off? How do you ensure that you're getting a good mix and master if you're working on a project, if you're mixing and mastering yourself?
I always try to test it on different systems. Like for instance, my car is one of the most important things. I think a lot of people listen it in their cars. So I always want to have my tracks sounding good in my car system, but also in my home speakers. I feel like my track has to sound good on every sound system. So also on my phone, on my laptop, it doesn't always have to sound good on my studio monitors, but it has to sound good on everything else. So I'm always tweaking it with different sound systems and trying to show it to other people as well. That's also a big part of my A&R moment, is when I show it to my friends or family, if they vibe to it, if they bounce to it, if they like it, that's also very important, because at the end, it's not the DJs that are gonna listen to it on Spotify. It's all the fans and all the people that are maybe not DJs or maybe interested in it. They're gonna listen to your music and they will have to like it. So I always show it to everyone around me, and if they like the track, then it's a go for me.
What is, like, when you say it sounds good, what does that mean? Like, what are you listening for? Are you listening for a prominent kick and bass? Are you listening to make sure you can hear everything? What are you listening for to give it the check mark? Like, okay, it sounds good on my phone, or it sounds good in my car.
It's different every time. It depends on the production. It depends on what I want to have the attention on in my production. So for instance, when I have a track with a really dominant bass line, I want people to hear the bass line really well, to really feel the bass line. But it could also be if it really has like a good top lead, that people want to hear the top lead and really need to hear that. So it depends on the track. So I want to have like the attention of the listener to a certain part of the track or a certain a sound in the track. And it's very important to see that as a producer, and to not really think about the too technical about everything, because for me, that ruins creativity. And the tracks that work best are mostly the tracks that are the ones you remember from a certain sound. And I think that's what I always try to do with my productions. I always try to listen to them in the car, and that the volume is the right way and everything, that it's not like a big mess volume wise, but that's still all the volumes are out there and you can hear everything perfectly.
That's a good point. And I think it's important too to note that for those who are writing music, get to know your car sound system really well, because I think every producer or DJ that I've talked to goes to their car to listen.
Yeah.
So really understand your car's audio system to see how, you know, reference the hell out of it and just really understand what it sounds like and, you know, where its faults are. Maybe the bass is really weak, so you have to kind of compensate for that in the mix.
Exactly.
So I was also, when I was watching your Julian Jordan series on YouTube, I love getting an inside look on DJs and producers' lives. And I think it really gives a human aspect to it, because a lot of people forget that people behind the booths are people. They're not robots. And sometimes we just see them. They come out on stage, they perform for an hour, hour and a half, and then they dip and they go, you know, across the world, and they're in another city, country the next day or weekend. So it's interesting to get that behind the scenes look for you. And one thing that really stuck out to me is that you loved when you went on the children's show. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool to do that, also because I have a younger nephew. I feel like it's really cool that what he's listening to, I really feel like, okay, it's how do you find your music, and how do you find your interest, and what do you like about this kind of music? And I think those people are the fans of the future, and you have to inspire the young kids as well, instead of always the people that can go to clubs and festivals. Because I was also inspired as a 12-year-old kid by electronic music, and I couldn't go to festivals, I couldn't go to clubs, and I was still inspired enough to start as a DJ as well. So for me, inspiring the younger generation is always a really important thing, as well as showing my personal side to fan bases and to my fan base. I think that's the most important thing for me as an artist, to show that I'm also a human. And that I'm not only what you see on Instagram. Like, for me, Instagram is a great tool to use to promote my music and to promote my shows and to show everyone that I'm doing great shows, to show everyone I'm working a lot on my music and that I'm in the studio a lot. But if you look at that, it's just one page of a book. You know, you just see only that page. And that's why I started, actually, It's Julian Jordan, the YouTube series on my YouTube channel. to show my fans a more inside look in my life and to show them a more personal side, which they can relate to, and they can understand my humor, they can understand my friendships, everything I'm doing. They will see a more, yeah, more personal touch about my whole artist life.
And I think that's cool, because you talked about when you got your car, you talked about being on the children's show. Like, that's so cool to see that. And it's always cool for me to see, you know, when people are working hard like yourself and accomplishing your dreams and able to support the lifestyle that you want. Like, we also want to support as fans. We also want to support the things that you're doing in your personal life, whether that's buying a house, whether that's buying a car, whether that's going on a dream vacation, getting married. Like, those types of things are important for me as a fan, for many musicians and artists, to see that type of stuff. Like, I, you know, we're all human. We want to connect on that level as well. So I think that's such a cool thing. So do you think that I mean, you said that kids are kind of like the next step to this thing. Do you find a lot of younger kids your nephew's age listening to electronic music? And what types of music are they listening to? Are they listening to the festival music?
So my nephew is 3 years old, so I can't really tell that.
Oh, okay. That's pretty young.
He still, like, he sings a lot of music out of his head, and I'm like, all right, how do you discover this? You know, you're three, you know, there's not like a, I guess he doesn't have a phone. So it's funny, you know, how to get to the younger generation, because some of them don't have Instagram yet or don't have social media. But I think about it a lot. And I think one of the TV shows I was doing is really important, because you can reach them over there and show them your music. And I think maybe they're watching on school or something, and they see that it's pretty fun that there's also electronic music instead of all the other tracks that their kids are listening to. So yeah, the way to do it is also with YouTube, you know, show them my personal side and how I am. And yeah,
I think too, with the younger kids, we're at a point now where, like, kids who are like 3 to 12, 15, there's so many, like, what's the next social media platform? Like, you and I, we grew up using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but those younger generations may not transition onto those platforms. They're going to come up, there's going to be a new platform for them. So it's trying to come up with and connect with those fans to put your music in front of those kids, and making sure that they're turning into listeners. So when they are able to go to festivals and shows, that they will, you know, come out and buy tickets. I think that's an interesting thing, and I'm always trying to keep up with what the latest platform is. Yeah. Because, you know, like, a lot of kids are still using Snapchat. Apparently that's still big. I don't use Snapchat that much.
No, same.
So it's like, but a lot of people, like I have a younger brother who's a junior in high school. He uses Snapchat a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, that's an interesting dynamic to learn.
True.
And understand that.
Yeah, I was really surprised by TikTok that it was, like, so big. I didn't really felt like I saw that exploding. Like, I didn't saw it, like, happening. And all of a sudden, it was there, and everyone was using it, like, all the younger generation as well. So I really had to understand it, and I had to understand how that works. So, yeah, it's funny how big something could get in the generations. And I already feel old, but I'm 25, so it's funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm 24. I'm turning 25 in a couple weeks. So we're about the same age. I love TikTok. I'm on TikTok all the time. I've actually discovered a lot of musicians on there that I've actually added to my Apple Music library, and that, you know, I've followed and I'm going to follow. So TikTok is an interesting platform, especially with its incredibly expansive growth in the last 6 months to a year. It's just been absolutely incredible to see. When you're going on a children's show, what are you doing? Are you playing your music for them? Are you talking to them? What's kind of the process behind it?
So that's a funny thing, because I feel like my club sound is a little bit too aggressive for a younger generation. But I always feel like I have to teach my fan base a bit about myself, about my music, that it's not just heavy sounds and everything. So the most important thing for artists to teach your fan base what you like is to let them grow with you. Mm. And I do have some like tracks that are more commercial, but like a little bit softer, but still has my signature sound in it. So what I try to do is explain my sound in words to them in a more easy way. So for instance, on that children's show, I was doing that. And then play them my new music and to show them what I've been doing as a DJ, and that it's actually really cool to be a DJ as well, and to that you play music and meet a lot of new people around the world and stuff like that. So it's that's the way I try to do that. But it's funny that you address it, because you have to think about the words that you are using. You have to think a lot about how you make sentences, that you can get really technical and stuff like that. You have to really think about making them understand it. So I always love to inspire people and to inspire kids as well. So I would love to do more of those shows, but yeah, maybe in the future.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So we're kind of wrapping up here. You got about 10 or 15 minutes left. Let's get into your sample pack, because you released that and you also have a masterclass. I think I'm always looking for artists to teach their ways and really share even more of their story and how they're producing. So tell us about your sample pack and your masterclass, and what's included in them. What can we expect in them?
That's also one of the things that I was talking about, like teaching people is really an inspiration for me. It really gets me motivated to see other producers using my pack. And it really inspires me when I see, when I can inspire other people, that inspires me as well. So I think there's nothing more beautiful than doing that. And that's the reason why I did the pack, and I did like a really big masterclass inside the pack, where I explain my creative process and I explain the way I work. You can really look with me while I'm doing that. And it's like more than an hour of me producing Bad Boy, that track. And you can really see how I twitch sounds, what I do, how I edit them. So it's I think it's really really important for me to show that, like, upcoming producers how I work, and or people that are just interested in it. So yeah, that's how the sample pack works. And so there's like this masterclass in it. There's projects in it, two projects, one from the masterclass and one from the demo check. There's also a big sample pack in it with presets, and yeah, just a lot of my own sounds that I've been using in projects. So yeah,
for the sample pack, what's in there? Is it kicks, is it claps, what's cymbals, what's in there?
Kicks, claps, cymbals, synth shots, vocal shots, percussion, presets, serum presets for Spire, and yeah, a detailed masterclass, but also with the project file in different for different DAWs.
Great. Okay, so how many gigs is this, and what quality are the samples? Are they like 48 kilohertz?
Yes, the biggest quality there is. I don't know how many gigs the sample pack is on top of my head, but I wanted to. That's also a thing for me, that I really care about quality over quantity. So I wanted all the sounds to be like perfectly, and all the samples I've used that are really the sounds that I use myself.
I'll ask one last question and then I'll let you go. What is your mission as a DJ artist, and like, what do you want to be known for?
My mission is to inspire as much people as possible with my own sound, and with me touring the world. My mission is just having fun and trying to reach as much as people possible by doing that. So that's my main mission, and to just be myself all the time and show the people what I've been working on all the time and what my passion is. And if I can inspire other people by doing that, that's already my mission accomplished.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time, Julian. This was so great. I'm excited to get this released. I learned a lot from you. Great to connect. And hopefully I'll be able to come out and see you when touring comes up, whenever that is. Yeah, before I let you go, how can listeners follow you and keep up with you?
People can follow me on Instagram at It's Julian Jordan. if you want to follow me on TikTok, I'm also called Julian Jordan, I guess. I'm called Julian Jordan on Twitter. Just check out my, I think Instagram is one of the things that I'm using the most. So follow me at It's Julian Jordan, and you can keep in contact with me over there. I'm very, very happy to see everyone checking out for the questions, Lennon.
Of course. This is great. Well, I'll let you go. This is super helpful. Take care. Stay safe out there. And hopefully I'll see you live whenever touring comes
back. Thank you so much, man. Thank you, Lennon. Thanks for the questions.
Cool.